This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Kremlin confirming that a meeting is being set up between President Trump and President Vladimir Putin. The question, will Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky also be there? Here's ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz.
This follows a meeting in Moscow on Wednesday between Putin and Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff. Following that meeting, the official said Witkoff told President Trump that Putin would like to meet with him, which President Trump said he is open to if Putin also meets with Zelensky.
The Kremlin not indicating it would be open to such a meeting with Zelensky as well. A computer glitch has left thousands of United Airlines customers stranded in airports and on planes. There was a nationwide ground stop yesterday. It's now been lifted, but there are many residual delays and about 100 cancellations today already. The Trump reciprocal tariffs on more than 60 countries kicking in at midnight. The White House says the move will create more American jobs. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices are ticking up in the Midwest, but they could be coming down again soon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices are up 4.8 cents compared to last week, landing at an average of $2.92. This is 0.7 cents lower than a month ago and over 56 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. The national average has increased during the past 2 weeks and is up 1.3 cents from last month, standing at $3.11 per gallon. Officials at Gas Buddy say OPEC Plus has fully restored production to 2023 levels. The weak jobs report and renewed tariff threats bring fresh economic concerns, causing oil prices to potentially face headwinds. This could pave the way for a decline in gas prices in the weeks ahead.
After holding steady at about $2.92 per gallon for several weeks, La Crosse gas prices briefly jumped above $3 per gallon and are now around $2.96, just above the statewide average. The city's Judiciary and Administration Committee voted to recommend adding drinking fountains around La Crosse at its most recent meeting. The new drinking fountains would be accessible to all, which is the reason why the current green bubblers around the city are turned off. A measure to delay removing the bubblers for historic reasons, which were shut off at the start of the year for not complying with ADA, failed to gain support. The recommendation to add drinking fountains around the city will move on to the full Common Council next week. Scattered storm chances today should keep temperatures down despite high humidity. We'll top out in the mid-80s with scattered showers bringing up to a half inch of precipitation to some areas in the Cooley region. Tomorrow will be hot and humid with highs in the 90s and heat index values around 100, with dew points climbing into the mid-70s. Storm chances return Saturday into Sunday as temperatures begin to return to normal for this time of year in the low to mid-80s. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's App Store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Another sweep for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Braves 5-4 to complete another three-game sweep. The team has tonight off before hosting the Mets tomorrow night. At the Packers training camp in Green Bay, Jordan Love talked about his story running on the website The Players Tribune about the loss of his father at the age of 14 after he committed suicide. The family says that Orban Love, age 51, had an adverse reaction to a heart medication that led to mental illness.
So my marketing agent was one who connected me. They approached and wanted to be able to write my story. Just the real stuff that's happened in my life. So, I think it's very cool to be able to share that. And I think there's some stuff, in my story that, I think a lot of people relate to and have been in similar situations. So whatever things people might be going through, just keep going and keep pushing through is really the message of it. I appreciate them for giving me that opportunity.
As Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s with a slight chance of a thunderstorm. For tonight, scattered storms possible, lows around 70. Mostly sunny, warm, and humid for Friday. Highs in the low 90s, the heat index in the upper 90s, and breezy from the south. Right now, 71 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife, but she says I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning to you. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you along on this Thursday morning. It's August 7th. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along in mere seconds. Coming up this hour, we will be talking to Luann Bird about the recent town hall held by Congressman Brian Steil in the southeastern part of the state. And it's one thing to give a member of Congress credit for holding an in-person town hall. It'd be another if the content were a little more, say, on the up and up. And Luann Bird is going to talk to us about that. We'll visit with Todd Allball and find out what he's doing on his program later today, afternoons from 2 to 4. You normally hear him on Wednesdays along with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. Well, Trigvi's going to be joining us here this morning. He's actually in Lithuania, where his wife is from, so he's visiting family out there, and is going to talk about his work promoting democracy around the world, helping countries that are new to democracy get a feel for the systems, the norms, the safeguards, and now some of those same lessons have to be taught here at home. So we'll talk to Trigvi Olson about that as well. A reminder that tomorrow is Friday, so that means it's going to be Free Ticket Friday. We'll be giving away Milwaukee Brewers tickets again. We'll also have Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalists Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. We'll have Mike Clemens with sports. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along as well. So again, a very busy Friday edition of these mornings powered by Up North News across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's see, in a bit here, I'll go back to the mailbag because as Brittany Merlot joins us now, and Brittany, I did not ask if you are much, I don't know what your adult beverage choices are. We've been talking about IPA beers and then things like bourbon and scotch and whiskey. What is your, if there even is a, maybe you're not even an adult beverage drinker.
Are you a big fan of Merlot?
Yeah, that's so funny. You have talked about all three things that I do dabble in. I don't drink much, but on occasion I do. And I've had to force myself to drink Merlot just because of my last name. So now, yes, I do like Merlot. But, you know, you had to start with the sweet, whiter wine, and then you work your way to the red and darker wine. So that's how I had to do that. But craft beers, I do enjoy that. I love the craft breweries and the different places and the just seeing them work so hard and make such amazing different kind of beer, and the styles and the flavors that they come up with these days are outstanding. So I do love to go to them, collect growlers. Those are pretty cool.
You
to
collect
bring
growlers.
Wow, I okay. do.
Wow.
All across the North, you know, okay. from Minnesota to Michigan to Wisconsin, even Illinois. So that's pretty cool, but I do enjoy whiskey and a bourbon too on
sure.
occasion.
So yeah, on this National IPA Day, Tony put up on YouTube, IPAs are trash and the garbage is where they belong. He
oh,
says
Tony.
Bourbon, scotch, and whiskey, that's the correct order of taste. From Adam, now, instead of just, you know, calling names, you know, when we say we don't like IPA, I'm like, well, just tell us what is your favorite? What's a good IPA? Adam puts up on YouTube, Pliny the Elder from Russian River Brewing is seen as the gold standard in IPAs. Let's see. Tony says, I did have a hazy IPA from Three Sheep. That was okay. But that was about it. And then finally from Alicia, you know what's not fair? The second I turned 40, vodka gave me heartburn.
Right?
Yeah. And I always talk about my preference as bourbon, but now I get a headache rather easily from it, which I'm going to say is a self-control mechanism and has prevented me in the age of social media from putting up anything really stupid online. It's just a right? way to say, hey, young man, settle down. The two old fashions, that's good. That's your limit. So thanks for joining us for Alcohol Talk at 7:10 in the morning. Why don't we turn to the weather now, where things are going to be getting a little hot and steamy here.
It is. Things are changing. First and foremost, that wildfire smoke is pretty much gone. We're all at moderate AQI levels. That's the yellow out there. So not too bad. Finally, after an entire week of that, we're finally breathing in so much fresher, cleaner air right now. Temperatures are at about 60 degrees in Superior, 72 right now in La Crosse. Everyone else is in between there. We're looking at more clouds north and patchy fog too. Dense in some places. More sunshine shining through down south in the state. And today we are getting much more muggy. I'm talking about dew points at about the mid-60s to nearing 70 degrees. So very sticky. It's going to be mostly sunny out there too, with highs reaching the mid to upper 80s today. So the heat index already feeling into the 90s this afternoon. Now we do, of course, have storms, active weather, all of that is starting up, and it's going to start this afternoon. I think around 3 or 4 o'clock or so around southwest areas of the state. It is going to be moving towards the Madison area, maybe around 8 o'clock or so, and then in towards the Milwaukee, probably around midnight and after. Now we could see a few more scattered showers and storms lingering in the Fox Valley still tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, Lake Superior towns get a little swipe of some showers and storms. And then even bigger storms start to form as we go into the evening tomorrow. And that trend continues, too, as we go into Saturday, because another cold front is going to be hitting. And that's going to spark up some strong to severe storms as they work through the state. So in between the storms, we're going to see the extreme heat right this afternoon. We're also going to see it tomorrow afternoon, where there is an extreme heat watch right now for northwestern parts of the state. And those heat index by tomorrow is going to be feeling like 100 degrees. Ooh. So we're going to be sweating there. And that is going to hang on Saturday for the southeast part of the state, while the northwest part of the state is going to be feeling that cold front and getting some relief. So hotter longer further southeast, still getting just as hot up north, just not as long.
And with the chance, but not certainty of precipitation, I just want to let folks around Chippewa County know, whether you're farmers or growing things, I am now taking offers, financial offers from you, on whether to put the top on my Jeep up or leave it down. Because if I leave it down, that guarantees it's going to rain. Whereas if I think it might rain and I put the top up, it's not going to rain. So whichever one you want to have happen, my Jeep top is for sale. Just as a weather barometer.
I've got my Jeep shirt on, the Wrangler shirt.
Is a Wrangler.
Yeah. Right? See,
that's perfect. Love it. From Rob, good morning. From Tigerton, it's partly cloudy, 62 degrees with light fog. Yesterday morning, I mowed 4 yards in Tigerton, then a doctor's appointment in Shawano, then a late lunch of spaghetti and meatballs at the Shawano Cafe, and went for a ride along Highway 29. Today, I have lawns to mow in Tigerton. Things are getting dry and could use a good drink. I heard that this is the driest start in many areas in about 50 years. He says Wisconsin had another tornado from the severe weather outbreak in northwestern Waupaca County, or 5 miles from my residence. Let's see. Alicia says, side note, the drive to and from Antigo from Kimberly is really long, so that's good. Let's see. Rob says, I like Brittany's shirt with the Jeep, what I pulled with my lawnmower tractor earlier this summer for Todd, my mechanic. So there you go. Back to the IPAs. Adam says, speaking of IPAs, it is the Great Taste of the Midwest this Saturday in Madison, which is the largest outdoor beer festival in the U.S. So cheers. All right, cheers. That sounds great. And let's see, we talked about novelty songs during today's history lesson as well. And a listener in the Chippewa Valley puts on the text line, if you're looking for more recent novelty songs, there's an artist from Australia named Tom Cardi, whose entire catalog of songs was meant to be funny. And from Jim in Brookfield, Pat, you made my day. From now on, whenever I have a fever for more cowbells, I will know the correct Bruce Dickinson director direction to channel my fever for more cowbell. So I'm glad we've schooled everybody in all the various Bruce Dickinsons out there in the world. And who knew?
Who knew there were so many?
Who knew there were so many and that we've been giving credit to the wrong one all this time? And it's not even the lead singer for Iron Maiden. And if you missed all this in today's history lesson, may I again suggest, first off, getting up earlier so you can join us for the history lesson every morning at 6:50. Here's one more from Stephen Milwaukee. Bell's Two-Hearted Ale. Must be another IPA recommend as well. Or, again, you can subscribe to the show as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, and that way you can listen back. And as you listen back, you can then send notes correcting us whenever we get something wrong. That never happens here, does it? No. Brittany, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Sounds good.
Keep in mind that the other way you can follow what we're doing here is to get our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click on subscribe up in the top banner. There's also our new Sunday morning newsletter, given the original name Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where we talk about Wisconsin politics. I've started trying to outline what's going to be in this weekend's newsletter about Wisconsin politics. And it is not easy. And we're going to be talking to Joe Sopecki in our next hour about this week's Wisconsin political headlines. And it's not going to be easy. I sent him three different stories that came in late yesterday. And when I got done looking at these three stories, I posted them to social media with this comment that I am almost literally begging some Republican politician to talk about something of substance rather than the carousel of what we're dealing with here. That would include Congressman Derek Van Orden. The headline from Anna Kleiber's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: Derek Van Orden escalates Mark Pocan feud by posting a photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy. This is what Derek Van Orden finds funny, is in trying to, say something insulting about a fellow member of Congress on his social media feed, where kids go. He's posting a photo of a naked man in a ski mask with a sex toy and thinks that he's being very funny. And that's really all I can say about that without getting into details that are not good for morning radio. I would ask, does this mean that Derek Van Orden is not suitable for Congress? The answer is Derek Van Orden is currently not suitable for middle school. But yet here he is. We've got also coming out of Madison, 20 Republican lawmakers call on Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson to act on Milwaukee violence. They want him to take specific steps to address violence in the city, according to this article in the Journal Sentinel by David Clary and Allison Durr. Here's the problem with that. Crime is down in Milwaukee. But of course, whenever there is something that is bad and gets a lot of TV attention, well, it's going to get a lot of political attention. It's just that the Swiss are known for their precision timepieces. The Swiss could only wish that they were as predictable as Wisconsin Republicans when it comes to playing the Milwaukee card. That's all they really know how to do, it seems, and they're doing it again, grabbing, a particular high-profile crime and saying that it's indicative of an entire city when the statistics show that it's anything but. And that there are also reasons why the legislature previously interfered with how the Police and Fire Commission can manage the way that the Milwaukee Police Department is run. But it's always easier to throw rocks from the other side. It's easier to throw rocks from the other side of the border, too, because a Wisconsin legislator, a Republican from Tomahawk, has now joined other lawmakers from Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota in filing a formal complaint against Canada about wildfire smoke. Also from Anna Kleiber in the Journal Sentinel. Asking the Environmental Protection Agency and the International Joint Commission to investigate Canada's wildfire management practices because Canada's north woods are burning down. Again, I am begging for something of substance to come from our GOP lawmakers, not photos of naked men with sex toys. A local update is next for some of you, and then we'll be talking to Luann Bird coming up in about 15 minutes here up north.
Eagle 1490 AM.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association. An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at mda75.org.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network with outlets in several states, plus podcasts, newsletters, video series, and more. One of those video series is called How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes? In her season finale, before taking the rest of the summer off, she has an episode about Trump's media takeover and why Americans are increasingly split into the informed and the manipulated. And it includes interviews with Tara McGowan, the founder of Courier Newsroom, and our friend, Chicago journalist Mark Jacob. You can watch that over at YouTube. Go to youtube.com/CourierHQ to learn more. On the text line is a comment saying, for those who claim the crime rate is down, I suggest you ask an officer who actually works on the streets in the city of Milwaukee how much crime is down. You know, the crime rate is down because you actually look at the numbers, okay? It's like asking somebody who's on the front lines of a war that has been reduced everywhere else except on that particular battlefield. It's like we talked about fog yesterday. When you're in that bank of fog, you think it goes on forever. When from up above, you're in one area. So obviously, an individual who is affected by crime or is busy fighting a crime in progress, that's all they know. The crime rate, well, that's writ large. That's everything. And it is just so easy for politicians to magnify the isolated rather than be honest about the big picture. From Mary Spacuzza at the Journal Sentinel, a follow-up to gubernatorial candidate Bill Berrien And I am happy to note that Bill Berrien no longer wants to tax corn that comes here from Iowa. And I don't know that that was ever his intent, but he had a little trouble putting his thoughts out in an earlier interview, and he's now clarified it. He sat down with the Journal Sentinel during a visit to the Wisconsin State Fair Exposition Center. He said he definitely wants to help implement Trump's, quote, America First strategy. He says, I really see the opportunity for Wisconsin to be a shining example of the success of his policies. However, there was this confusion, I guess, about his comments to a WMTV reporter late last month about wanting to put, quote, a tariff on corn from Iowa, according to the reporter. Then Berrien responded, look, you know, the benefit to Wisconsin would be businesses investing here to make product here. So in the follow-up by the Journal Sentinel asking about putting tariffs on products from other states, Berrien said, I don't know where that state tariffs came from. I mean, no tariffs state to state. Well, we know where it came from. You were asked a question. We can roll back the tape. We've played it on this show, if you like. If you're confused about tariffs, that it's fine to say so. But your answer gave the appearance that you liked Trump's tariffs nation to nation so much that you would consider Wisconsin having something like tariffs rather than, you know, trying to attract businesses with healthy schools, infrastructure investment, things like that. Philip Schulman, a spokesperson for the Wisconsin Democratic Party, told the Journal Sentinel, quote, Bill Berrien is so obsessed with trying to win Trump's love that he'll support any policy, including wanting to increase the GOP's tariff tax. And after this flip-flop, it's clear he'll say whatever he thinks will help him win, not what will actually help working Wisconsin. Berrien was asked about the Canadian wildfire smoke that we talked about earlier, and he said he wasn't sure to what extent climate change was a factor or what could be done to fix the problem. And give him credit here for, you know, saying, you know, I just haven't looked at the root causes enough. I know that the DNR is sending up some firefighters, but it's certainly challenging. See, now that's a good answer. It's not a great answer because, again, you're afraid to acknowledge a changing climate caused by fossil fuels, but at least you're not in denial. And in fact, when pressed about the issue, he told the Journal Sentinel, human activities are one of the causes of climate change. I think it's definitely a combination of factors, Berrien said. But, you know, people are going to be one of those factors. So, again, not a denialist. That works in his favor. He was also asked about the campaign contributions that he received from the Winklevoss twins, Cameron and Tyler, who founded a cryptocurrency company known as Gemini, and perhaps are better known for their legal dispute with Mark Zuckerberg over, you know, the creation of Facebook. Anyway, Berrien has raised $1.25 million, but $1 million of that $1.25 million came from the Winklevoss twins. And he was asked about that, Berrien was, and he said, quote, I've known them for about 30 years just through their parents, and that he's had conversations with them about bringing more, quote unquote, hard tech to Wisconsin. So, again, the Wisconsin State Fair is a great opportunity for people to get to talk to candidates, reporters, finally get to talk to them as well. You're not hand-picking your audience the way that you know, Derek Van Orden did recently. You're not doing the so-called teletown hall, which is not to say you shouldn't do a teletown hall, but it's not a substitute for meeting in person. I did more than 100 in-person listening sessions as a legislator. They weren't always easy. They were necessary. I didn't sneak up on people. I didn't leave phone messages the night before or the morning of that said, you know, hey, come join me. I know it's short notice, but come join me. I mean, we put ads in all the little small town newspapers or notices in the newspapers saying, hey, here's where you can talk to your state senator. Had some great conversations, got some good ideas. Members of Congress could do the same. You know, I watched Russ Feingold all those years holding listening sessions in all 72 counties. And as the years went on and as the electorate got more hostile, some of those listening sessions weren't a lot of fun, but there were also some great questions, some great give and take. And that's what responsible elected officials do. So the ones that'll come to the state fair, shake some hands and do interviews, hey, that's a good thing. but it would be better if you actually held your own form and kept yourself accountable. Congressman Brian Stile kind of sort of did that, and we're going to talk to our guest Lou Ann Bird coming up next about that, right after the Midwest Farm Report, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't forget, Matt and Air on Air follows this program from 9 to 11, and tomorrow, Free Ticket Friday, here on These Mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Taking out loans is many times a necessity for farmers. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Darla Sikora, the Director of Agricultural Loans with Citizens State Bank of Loyal, is here to give insight into what Wisconsin farms are most commonly taking these loans out for right now.
Not a lot of new barns going up, but occasionally there are new things to be added onto an existing barn, maybe expanding a freestall barn or something along those lines. For whatever reason, the last couple of months, I have actually seen a lot of our customers purchasing forage trailers. That is a big one. Getting crops made is the weather has, it always has an impact, but the last couple of years have really been a challenge in our area, and getting good feed in when it's ready to go in is huge. So a lot of forage trailers for haylage put in when it needs to.
Sikora also says that if you are looking to get a loan, make sure you walk into the bank with a plan to pay them back to increase your chances of it being accepted. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. Last week, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin suggested that he may rescind the mandate on DEF systems, also known as the diesel exhaust fluid. This original ruling came after the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding. If this were to be rescinded, it'd be the largest deregulatory action in the history of the U.S., it may also create some issues for the ethanol industry. If you like this agriculture news and want more of it, make sure to visit our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s with a slight chance of a thunderstorm. For tonight, scattered storms possible, lows around 70. Mostly sunny, warm, and humid for Friday. Highs in the low 90s, the heat index in the upper 90s, and breezy from the south.
Right now, 71 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
President Trump claims it is common practice to move a convicted sex offender to Club Fed. Is that accurate? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Remember, you can sign up for my weekend Wisconsin politics newsletter, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And in that newsletter, we also put in a question of the week. And this week, we're looking at the redistricting in Texas, where Republicans are trying to add 5 seats artificially, and asking, what should democratically controlled states like California do? Should they respond in kind or not sink to that level? And again, folks can answer that by being subscribers to our newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. We were just talking about the Wisconsin State Fair, getting out there and talking to people. And we were talking in the last segment about a couple of Republicans who have done that. There are plenty of other folks, a lot of good progressives working at the state fair as well. I'm looking at the Facebook page of our friend Luann Bird and seeing her doing a little pressing of the flesh at the Wisconsin State Fair as well. And she joins us now live to visit with us. Luann, good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Good morning, friends. Good morning, Pat and company.
It's so nice to see you. And
thank you.
Like I said, I did see you in that same Resist t-shirt that you were wearing at the Wisconsin State Fair. So let's start there before we get to the Congressman Stiles listening session. You get to do your own listening when you're at places like the fair. Tell us about those conversations.
Well, they're the same, really. I have a lot of people need hope right now, and a lot of people are very tired of the regime and the autocracy that's in place. So I have a great time talking to people, not really talking, mostly, again, listening to what their concerns are and giving them a place, a space where they can actually be part of the change. So I invite people to join the Democratic Party. I invite them to join our protests that we have every weekend on Saturday at 10 o'clock on the corner of 76th and Layton. And we hold up our signs and we rally in support of democracy. So, yeah, those conversations are great. It's also hard because, you know, there's such a division. It's not even like we just disagree. There's, you know, people that don't agree with Democrats can be kind of a little bit rude, but you know, they're not willing to engage in a conversation. And that's something I always like to work on, but it was great. It's just great to be down there.
And the thing of it is, what we do need are more conversations. And you are perhaps the quintessential person, the opening of, if somebody does not agree with Democratic or progressive points of view, but you want to start a conversation, you want to start it with somebody like Luann. It has always been nothing but respectful. I've seen when you've gone up to, for, you know, like Senator Ron Johnson. And it's the kind of discourse we all wish we could have when we start from places where we don't agree. At no point have I seen, you know, some Republican want to accost you, because you're simply a very easy person to talk to.
Well, I've been treated pretty rudely by a few. There was a guy that came up to me. We don't need to talk about that. What we want to talk about is, yeah, I like people. I respect Republicans. I respect Democrats. I think Republicans that are Trumpers are in a different space. They just are full of fear and they want power and control. And so I still think we need to talk with them. We need to understand where they're coming from, because democracy, it's so serious what they're doing now, and they don't even realize it. I had a short conversation with the chair of the Republican Party, because you know me, Pat, I just go up
You'll
and
talk to anybody. Yep. Yep.
And I saw him at the fair and we were just chatting and being very nice and, you know, family and summer and whatever. And then I did ask him about Trump, you know, do you think he has too much power? But then I said, I asked him about the executive order that Trump signed, because he said, you know, I really care about people with disabilities. And I said, me too. See, there's that common ground.
Right.
However, what he didn't know is that Trump signed an executive order allowing new businesses within the agencies, the federal agencies, to not have to make their buildings ADA accessible if it's going to limit their ability to be prosperous, because those things only benefit a few. So it's really scary to me that even some of these Republicans that I think share some of our values don't know what Trump's doing. So we have to get in there and we have to keep having these conversations and doing our own research. Don't just accept what they say because they're good at talking points.
Well, and that's where we make the pivot to the town hall here, because, again, in conversations, you know, people can be very nice and pleasant. They don't have to be rude. However, there's a difference between having, you know, a pleasant tone and having a pleasant tone and not being completely truthful, would be my word. And for that, I would turn to Congressman Stile, who is continuing to defend an indefensible bill for the cuts that it makes and continuing to be an advocate for Trump's, you know, deportation policies and things. What I'm saying, Luann, is a lot of people want to give him credit for having an in-person town hall, but I think that credit gets negated a bit when, if you're not willing to be truthful with your constituents.
Well, it was clear that the attendees weren't going to accept that. And when he pivots to blaming Biden for open borders as to the reason we have an immigration part, we didn't let him do that. I mean, the crowd cut him off, which is how we were feeling at the time. I know for some people, that kind of an angry town hall, they don't like, and I don't either. It's too bad we've had to go to that, but we didn't let him. And here's the thing, it was a quote, listening session, and the speakers, thank you to all of you who spoke up. They were very respectful, very direct. And it's all on my website. If anyone wants to go watch, we just put up a shortened version today, so you don't have to watch the whole clapping and everything.
Give me the website quick so I can put that up on screen.
It's luannbird.com.
Okay. Luann, L-U-A-N-N.
L-U-A-N-N.bird.com. Yeah. And it's also, well, anyway, so here's where I struggled. Every time someone stood up there and spoke eloquently, like about internment camps in Florida, which he would then say, well, I disagree with that description. You know, he would say, I disagree. And then on all the issues, like on immigration and on feeding children in Gaza, you know, he had his pat answers. So I don't call that a listening session. I'm not sure what he did that for, because a listening session would be acknowledging what you heard and then maybe being open to what we're saying. And I didn't sense any of that. So he thinks on immigration, we just have to follow the law, which means kicking people out. But one of the listeners kindly reminded him that it's just a misdemeanor if you're in this country illegally. And, you know, we reminded him that it's an internment camp because there's no due process. You can't call it a detention center because it's actually an internment camp when you arrest people for no reason and you throw them in and they can't see their attorneys. And that's happening in America right now. So it wasn't a listening session. It was I call it a rubber stamp for Trump. That's what it was.
Well, there was a lot of, it's performative now. It's a matter of taking your lines and being able to deliver them, not just to a friendly crowd, but to a crowd that may not necessarily agree with you. And I think that too many politicians are doing just that. They're treating this as theater, as something, as a performance that they have to make, but stick to your guns rather than actually having the back and forth and showing some independence, showing at least a little daylight between yourself and, in this case, Donald Trump, to say, you know, I don't agree with him on this thing or that thing. And that's the problem with this entire congressional delegation right now is, I mean, they're all afraid to show any daylight between themselves and Trump, aren't they?
They are. Mm-hmm. And in my home, you know, my husband's very sick and we have a lot of aides that come in and help out and they're all on Medicaid. And I wanted to share the story about that, about how One of our aides is actually on the Affordable Care Act. His premium is $900 a month, and he finally, I knew all along he was going to lose that. He finally figured it out, and he was heartbroken. So those are the kind of things where what these Republicans and what Congress is doing is hurting people. It isn't just we disagree anymore, but there are children that are starving in Gaza because we are not... America used to be at the forefront of foreign aid. And instead, Trump is negotiating with his friends with Netanyahu instead of America being the people that care. We are the people that care. It's just that our leaders don't. You know, this is heartbreaking and that all these people are going to lose their health care. And all because, Pat, they wanted to lower the tax rate for the wealthy and the big corporations so that they could spur innovations. It's all about the big people and prosperity, but that has shown in history to never, ever work. So we could take care of a lot of these problems that we're facing and that the people in that room were angry about if we would just make everybody pay their fair share.
We're talking to Lou Anne Bird, former candidate for legislature and continues to be active in the community. LouAnneBird.com, LouAnneBird, LouAnneBird.com, or on Instagram, Bird4WI, BirdForWi, where, I mean, there's no shortage of pictures of you, you know, meeting with people, continuing these conversations. Here's an aspect of the conversation that I wonder about, and you just hit on it, that all of these cuts, they're not actually saving anybody anything because they're just going right to tax cuts for the very wealthy. It's not like it's coming back to middle class taxpayers, but I always get the impression that there are still far few people who know that. In your conversations, mm-hmm. do people get that these cuts aren't actually saving anything? Do they know that, or is it, or do you see them realizing it after the fact and feeling like they've been hoodwinked?
Well, the people that really need Medicaid, for example, don't know. They really don't know what's going on at the federal level. And they really just don't know. So we have to educate them. We have to help them understand. And don't you wonder, like, oh, they're always cutting billions and billions of dollars. They're holding money back from grants that they owe, universities and education and things like that. That money's all going to detention centers now, to internment camps. So... when you just have to help people connect the dots. What are they doing with this money? This budget wasn't about lowering the deficit. It actually increases the deficit. I mean, it's still at $3 trillion. So it's not, watch what they say, watch what they do, not what they say. Okay.
Exactly. And again, just this week, you know, new numbers came out on the big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill, and it now crosses $4 trillion.
Yeah.
That it adds to
That's
the
right.
debt.
And that's right. Those,
It's just for all those folks that say, that have always said, oh, it's about the deficit. The deficit is killing us. As Tony notes on YouTube here, it's like they're always talking about balancing the budget. There's never been anything this far out of balance. And that's your big mission, is conveying that to people.
Well, that's right, because even my aide that didn't understand how that all works was asking me, he's like, now, because I protest all the time and I'm off to go protest after we take care of Phil. It's like, well, now what are you protesting for? And when I explained democracy, he's like, well, what do you mean? What's going on there? And then I explained to him that, well, right now the president is totally in control. Congress isn't doing their job. They are not standing up to the president, who is constantly breaking the law. We have lost our balance of power. And when Congress goes ahead after Trump cut the $9 billion, then that Congress had already approved and allocated toward great programs that help people all around the world, then Trump cuts it and Congress, instead of standing up to Trump, rescinded that money. That is not democracy. So by technical terms, we've lost our democracy at the moment. But the good news is that when this happens, people can rise up and we can take it back. We can demand, when we stop when we get to those people that are so loyal to President Trump, we can unravel this autocracy that we're all stuck in. So I stand up on my street corner every Saturday at, you know, 76th and Layton with my signs, because we've got to sign people up. We've got to educate them, Pat. And we can change things.
And learn more at luannbird.com. Luann, thank you so much. Great to connect with you again.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Pat.
All right.
For
you
what
bet.
You do.
We'll talk to Todd Alba and Rigby Olson coming up right after this. You're up north.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We've been explaining the basics of fair redistricting and unfair gerrymandering this week. Who does the redistricting, and how can that encourage fair maps and curb partisan and racial gerrymandering? In the majority of states, partisan legislative subcommittees draw redistricting maps. Because redistricting is so sophisticated and data-intensive, legislators often hire outside contractors and, all too often, data specialists from the majority party's national headquarters. In some states, advisory commissions are appointed by the governor and leaders of both parties. Sometimes it's all politicians, or in the case of Virginia and New York, a mix of political appointees and citizens. Such commissions can make map recommendations, but those recommendations are subject to change and often ignored by the legislature. For fair and competitive maps, constitutionally mandated independent citizen redistricting commissions in Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, and Montana have had the most success. Citizens registered as Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters are usually appointed in equal numbers and are required to follow redistricting best practices, including public input. In some cases, such commissions have unwound decades of rigged maps, which is why anti-voter politicians work so hard to stop them. We have details on all these redistricting models at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
I didn't know what the hell Malort was. So here now, our own Carol, head of traffic, she's brought in Malort. Down the hatch. Cheers to Malort. Now, it went down fairly smooth, but the back end is ridiculously terrible. Judas Priest. That's terrible. Once is enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like my time with women.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a real treat. For the first time ever in radio broadcast history, at least here in the Western Hemisphere, Todd Alba and Trigvi Olson together again in the morning, although it is a loophole. The only reason we could get Trigvi Olson on a morning radio show is that he's on the other side of the planet where it is afternoon in Lithuania. Todd, Trigvi, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Good morning or good afternoon to our friends joining us around the globe.
Mr. and Ms. Middle America and all the ships at sea. What is the name of the community where you are in Lithuania there, Trigvi?
I am in Palanga, which we always come here for a week. And today is the first day in which we have seen sun. All we have seen is rain and cold. So everybody's at the beach. I'm sitting outside here just enjoying a little bit of sun, doing some work. And yeah, it's
very
great.
Nice. Trigvi, for folks that don't catch him on Todd's show regularly, is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. He's going to stick around with us after the 8 o'clock news, and we'll talk more about the work he's done around the world to promote democracy, but now feels a need to do it in the United States of America for some reason. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we asked him to infringe on Todd's time here as well, since he's on Todd's show all the time. Todd, you had an interesting discussion yesterday with Lou Rauch and with former State Senator Dale Schultz about something called fusion voting. Can you remind folks what fusion voting is and then your impression of the conversation?
Sure. I mean, just to the quick version is fusion voting is something that was around. It was the start or helped start the old Republican Party, the one that was founded in Ripon, Wisconsin, that allowed Free Soilers and Whigs and people, different parties, to come together and form the Republican Party. And it's kind of gone away now. And so there's a lawsuit in Wisconsin by United Wisconsin, which Trigvi is also a part of, to be able to bring it back. Essentially, it allows for a candidate to appear on a ballot twice under two different parties. So let's say that Pat Kreitlow was going to make a comeback and run for governor. Not a bad idea, might I say. Yeah. And he was going to run as a Democrat, because that's how he got to the state Senate. But, you know, there were some people out there that said, I just can't vote for a Democrat. So a party like United Wisconsin, hypothetically, could say, we're also going to nominate Pat Kreitlow for governor. And then on the ballot, Pat Kreitlow's name would appear both under the Democratic Party for governor and United Wisconsin Party for governor. All of the votes on that ballot for Pat Kreitlow would count. Can't count twice, but right, those who voted for Pat under the Democratic Party and the United Wisconsin Party, it all adds up. The theory is that it allows a more centrist candidate to come through without playing a spoiler and allowing someone else to win unintentionally.
And that might be a way to get more, you know, to get more coalitions built. But Trigvi, you're the one with firsthand experience in working with countries that may not even have political parties or political parties that are just getting underway. What's been your own impression of that particular proposal?
Well, so my thinking on fusion voting, I've worked in a lot of places where they have ranked choice, where they'll have first past the post and then lists. That process, which has taken hold in places like Alaska, is really confusing for voters, because people in Wisconsin and, quite frankly, across the U.S. are used to going in, I'm going to vote straight party ticket, or I'm going to vote for individual candidates. When you have to start doing things like ranking them, it just gets really confusing. When you have things like jungle primaries, they haven't really been shown to move the extremist wings out. Fusion voting, though, you know, creates almost a good housekeeping stamp of approval, right? So if you've got Pat running against some far right mega candidate whose only qualification is he got Donald Trump's endorsement, which pretty much is the endorsement process for the governor's race in Wisconsin next time, by the
yes,
way.
Yeah.
It would be a very good way for a group of, you know, people in the center, some who lean more sort of Republican. I think Dale still kind of describes himself that way, to say, you know what, Pat is the choice here. And, you know, even if it's 3%, 4%, 5% of the vote in a state like Wisconsin, if people start saying, we're going to go with, you know, candidates who back these sort of more mainstream kind of issues, Pat's going to stand for the UW system, Pat's going to stand for public education, all the things you would, it's a very easy way to make a systematic change that can have a real impact.
Okay, but let's get to what can really have impact here. And that would more likely involve Todd Alba running for governor. And Trigvi, what would it take to put together the Alba-Dale Schultz ticket for 2026? Is that something you could get behind? Could you be a consultant for that particular ticket?
You know, Pat, this is one of the things that I don't know if you know this or not. There's been three people so far that I've said I would walk to Wisconsin to go knock on doors if they ran for governor, and they couldn't be any different ideologically. I would walk to Wisconsin if Todd or you or Dale Schultz decided to run. But I've also said that about Kelda Royce. I've said that about Bill McCaution, and I've said that about Ben. And the reality is, I think, and this is just me, and I think United Wisconsin has tapped into this. What people in Wisconsin, the center in Wisconsin, really wants is people who are going to solve problems and who are going to back the things that have made Wisconsin great. The Wisconsin idea, public education, conservation, those things.
Well, that describes Todd Alba right there, because for every problem that he creates, he solves two others. But you know, at least you can always count on him to be working on problems in some form or another. Todd, we're sorry to give you a short shrift here.
It's fine.
You can hang around if you want, but I want to make sure people listen to you weekdays from 2 to 4. And we're going to talk to Trigvy after the 8 o'clock news here as well about the work he does for the Lincoln Project, the work that he's done all around the world and saving democracy. And now we ask the vital question. Can our democracy be saved? It's only our 250th year. We got to get it right at one of these points. So we'll explore that further after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he is directing the Commerce Department to begin work on what he calls a new and highly accurate census. This one would exclude those in the country illegally. The president's new tariffs kicked in at midnight, says ABC's Rachel Scott at the White House.
After months of pauses and extensions, overnight, President Trump's punishing new tariffs finally snapping into effect. More than 90 countries now facing tariffs ranging from 15% to as high as 41%. While almost all imported goods remain subject to a 10% tariff. Those tariffs will be paid by companies, but economists warn the costs may be passed on to consumers.
The Kremlin says President Trump and President Putin have agreed to a summit, but Putin has not signed off on the idea of letting Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky take part as well. There's a briefing about an hour from now on the base of Fort Stewart, Georgia, following the mass shooting yesterday that left five soldiers wounded and a sergeant under arrest. This is ABC News.